In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and Eleanor is with me today. I'm reading from the sixth chapter of St. John. "I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread come down from heaven. Unlike the bread your ancestors ate and died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." And these things he said while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Do you know that the early Christians were called cannibals? They were called cannibals because they said, "We are eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus." And they were at the sacrifice of the Mass. And I want you to know a couple of things about me. When I was a deacon at St. Paul's in Hingham, the church used to be open and people would be coming into the church just to pray. So when I went as my first assignment to Sacred Heart in North Quincy, I said to the priests, "Can we open the chapel so that people would be able to adore the Lord?" Well, you see, there was a fire in 1946 and people were hesitant. But I kept it up. I kept on saying it every time we had a meeting. And finally the pastor said, "We're going to open the chapel and lock the church." And so today, if you go to 386 Hancock Street, that chapel is still open and you'll always find people there. That was a gift that God gave me that I would be able to do something like that.
Oh, that's amazing, Father. I love the story. I thought I heard all your stories, but I don't remember that one. But praise the Lord. Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be with you and happy to be with you too, Father. And I love that gospel. And it's an amazing gospel. And you read the whole gospel pretty much. But if you actually go over the gospel, Father, it's a gospel that has to be read even more slowly than you did, because it's a powerful promise from Jesus, and Jesus never breaks his promises. And so when you were reading it, Father, I counted how many times in this gospel Jesus said, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever." One, two, "I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood." Three, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood." Four, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood." And after each one of those, the fifth one, he says it too, there's always a consequence. "You will have eternal life. You will remain in me and I in him. You will live forever." I mean, imagine, he said that five times. And he didn't say, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, maybe you will have eternal life," or "Try to do that sometime and you will live forever." I mean, after each one of those sentences, you could put an exclamation point twice. It's a very serious promise. And Father, why do people have trouble believing that? Well, I don't know, to be honest. It's a mystery, and our faith needs to come into full bloom. But why even would that have to be? Because other things that Jesus said, we believe in. We believe that he is the door to heaven. We believe he is the bread of life. We believe he is the good shepherd. We believe he is the way, the truth, and the life. We all say, yes, we believe that. We believe he said, I will never leave you orphans. We believe all that. So now, five times, he says this. Now, this is remarkable, because how could that happen? But you know that God can do anything. We have a most beautiful, powerful God. So God can do this. And when you think about Jesus and how creative the Father was to let Jesus have this idea of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, like you first think, oh, that's not, how could that be? But then he leaves us the host, and the priest prays over the host during Mass. And we believe then that that is how we are eating the flesh and the blood, because it is blessed. And the Father in heaven, who can do anything, he changes that bread and wine that we see on the altar, he changes that in. And when we believe that when we eat that bread and drink that wine, it is the precious blood of Jesus, because Jesus said so. And he told us the consequences of if we do that. He has beautiful promises. You will live forever. I will live in you. You will live in me. You will have eternal life. What better? What an amazing thing, Father. And so we pray that people believe even deeper on that. And if you believe other things that Jesus said, then you must believe this. And God is powerful. This is how he brings about this miracle. So that you know that expression, you are what you eat. So we're eating Jesus and we're drinking his blood. And we will live forever. We believe that. And what a way to live your life. I mean, life is crazy enough. But to know that this promise is going to happen, that we will have eternal life, that Jesus will live in us, we will live in him. It doesn't matter what the world's doing all around us. It doesn't matter if the world seems chaotic. It doesn't matter if the terrorists are coming, because we know that we have Jesus in us, and he is in us, and we are in him, and he will protect us, and all the other things come into being. We will never be left orphans. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. I am with you. I love you. I mean, this is how we go through our life. We're always prudent. We're always careful. But we know that Jesus is with us in all circumstances. And then to have him say this five times in the gospel from yesterday, how powerful is that? And so you could meditate on that. Even one of the sentences, I will raise him up on the last day. I mean, and that reminds us, this is a journey we're going through. This is a journey. Life is a journey. Life has ups. Life has downs. But Jesus remains constant. He is always there. He will never leave us. And then it gives us the answer. I will raise him up on the last day. I mean, how beautiful is that? You know, we take out insurance policies and we do all this human stuff. But this is a promise, and it's better than any insurance policy. You just read this whenever you get down. Read this gospel every day. Every Sunday this should be read, just to impress upon people how beautiful our Lord and Savior is, how humble he is. Imagine a humble God. I think that's why, Father, people find this hard to believe, because does God love us that much? Does Jesus love us that much that he would die on the cross? It's like, oh, wow. But you know what? He does. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. Jesus does not lie. He makes statements, and they're beautiful statements. And I will love you with an everlasting love, period. He doesn't say maybe on Tuesday, maybe next week, or maybe not you. He said, I love you, everyone, with an everlasting love. So this is a beautiful gospel. And I think, just to say that, finish that part, I don't think people believe that Jesus would die before love of us. And I don't think they believe that our God is humble enough to come down to us in the form of bread. It's hard to believe, but he does. And he did. And he will continue to do. And thank you for letting me share that, Father.
The scripture says many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. And they left him. They left him. They said, how can we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood? He did not call them back. Why? Because at the Last Supper, he said, do this in memory of me. That whole word memory is not remember. Mm-hmm. That whole word is anamnesis, or make present the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or in Hebrew, zikaron, making present the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you another story. After I finished in Sacred Heart, North Quincy, I went to another place. They were looking for a priest, and I see if I fit with the pastor. I'll never forget, I had a bologna sandwich, if I remember correctly, and I said to the pastor, I said, are you going to open the church for the people to come and worship the Lord? He said, no, you're idealistic. Well, I ate my bologna sandwich and left. I said, unless people know that the church is open, how can they make a visit? How can they praise God in the sacrament? I remember receiving a letter from a woman at the Holy Rosary saying, I came into this church very much burdened, but when I leave, I'm leaving with peace. Why? Because Jesus is present, mm-hmm. as Eucharist. Our children during CCD, every first Monday, starting in October to May, we sit them beside the Blessed Sacrament. They come and they are so reverent. They know this is Jesus and they are so reverent. It's so wonderful. That's all about Mrs. Tewksbury taught me that, and we did it, and we continue to do it, that children will recognize that this is not bread, but this is Jesus. I remember when I was at St. Adelaide's in Peabody, I remember asking the kids at First Communion, if we put in the paper that Jesus was coming to the big auditorium, what do you think would happen? Did we packed the place. I said, but Jesus comes to us today and the church is not full. And you know what one of the kids said? They just don't believe. This one of the kids said, they don't believe it's Jesus. And you know, that's really true. That's really true. Every Catholic does not believe that the Eucharist is in fact the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right, Father. And I wanted Father to sing this song, but he said he couldn't sing it today. But this is a beautiful song. I can't sing either, but taste and see the goodness of the Lord. So if you're listening to us today, and you're like, it sounds good to you, but you're still not there, why not taste and see the goodness of the Lord? Go to confession. Go to Mass, receive Jesus into your heart, and you will see the goodness of the Lord. He will come in a mighty way, and you will be blessed. So that is, Father will sing that another time, I'm sure.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord, oh. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. Notice it says taste and see and not wonder and think. It said taste and see. I call that a hot fudge Sunday knowledge. What do you mean by that? If I had someone here who never had a hot fudge Sunday, I could describe it to him or to her, but they have no idea what it is until they taste and see, and then they can make a decision whether they want one or not, and I'm sure they'll want one. The Eucharist is the same thing. Taste and see, not think and wonder, that this is the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I came to Holy Rosary, the first thing I did was to unlock the doors of the church so that people could come in and pray. The church is open all day. So if you have a need a place to go, you go to Holy Rosary. and come and sit beside the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm talking to people who don't go to Mass right now. You know what I would tell you to do? Find a church that's open and just sit there when nobody else is there but you and Jesus. He'll convince you to go to Mass. But just go and just go. And don't feel guilty. Just go and sit before the Blessed Sacrament, before the tabernacle. And just let God do His work in you. That's what I advise people to do. Even if you don't go to Mass, you can come before the Eucharist and tell Jesus that you are completely dependent on Him and that you need Him 150%.
Oh, that's good advice, Father, and I'm so glad you sang that song. It's beautiful. And since we have a grateful heart this morning, the Lord loves a grateful heart. You know, every day should be Thanksgiving Day. The Lord loves a grateful heart, and He loves faith, and He loves worship. So I would like to thank the people, if it's all right with you, Father, that have helped me in the last few months. And a special thanks to Father McHugh over at St. Catherine's Church in Somerville. They have a beautiful pro-life program, and they just had a baby shower for the parishioners. You do that too, Father. You do that in October. And I think Father McHugh just did it in May. And so the things that were gathered, they gave them to me. And I have my room upstairs filled with all beautiful clothes and diapers. Everything was brand new. And the mothers are coming. And I often say, I wish that a father and all the parishioners of St. Catherine's could see the mothers come in. Imagine seeing all these beautiful clothes, and they have a little boy or a little girl. And you know what happens, Father, and not the mother might come that I've dealt with, but then she'll call me ahead and she'll say, do you mind if I bring my cousin? She had a baby, but she has nothing. So sometimes three or four new mothers will come in, and they're thrilled. One woman had tears in her eyes. She said, we're able to take a couple of the outfits and diapers. I said, yes. I said, it's been contributed from beautiful people. And so, believe me, Father, my heart is grateful. And also to Debbie Tewksbury from the Tewksbury Garden Shop, who gave me some beautiful clothes. Cheryl, a wonderful woman that knitted booties, and another wonderful woman that knitted hats. So this is my grateful day. Every day I'm grateful, but I just wanted to mention that. And did you want me to say anything that's been happening in the pro-life world?
Please do that.
Okay. Now, next time I come, I'm going to have some statistics, because all of you that are praying for an end to abortion, things are happening across the country, but I want to be specific. There are states that have closed Planned Parenthoods because the governor has refused to fund Planned Parenthood. So you might say, well, which states? There's seven of them, but I want to make sure I get them right. There's a bill in Iowa that's in session, and it will say that the birth or life begins at the moment of conception. Now we're trying to get 20 weeks, but at the moment of conception. So you can pray for that bill. But there's other things happening, and I'll have some more statistics. But in a personal level, we've had three or four nice stories in the last couple weeks. And you know how it all happened, Father? I give my card out, and they call it the Eleanor card. I've mentioned it before, and I'll give you my telephone number now. So I don't care where you are, in Poland or in California, you can still call me here, and I will get help for you, either myself or I will direct you to some assistance. But my card, I've given out thousands, and this week I had three calls from my cards. And my telephone number is 617-733-2264. So I'll tell you the first call that I received from a card. And the person had gone into Planned Parenthood, and I hate to say this, but I think I should have to say it. Planned Parenthood, the person in there, treated her very unfairly. The person that called me eventually said, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking of abortion, and then I'm thinking I don't want to do it, so I'm on the fence. And the person at Planned Parenthood said, in a very surly manner, well, why don't you go home and make up your mind, and then when you pick abortion, come on back. I mean, what kind of a business is this? What kind of a way to act? And so, of course, the woman that eventually called me, well, she was horrified, and she left. And one of our people out front of Planned Parenthood had my card, so she called me. And the interesting part of this story is she doesn't drive a car, and she didn't know how to get to any facilities like a pregnancy help or Friends of the Unborn. So I offered to pick her up, but guess what? All of a sudden, Father, I remembered that A Woman's Concern has a mobile van. It's called like a stork van. And they travel around the Boston area, and they go to where you want them to go. So I called Teresa, and I'll give you that telephone number. And the van ended up going over to where this young lady works. And in the van, there's a nurse and a technician and an ultrasound machine. And the woman saw the ultrasound, saw the baby, very active. She's 18 weeks pregnant. And so I want to advertise the van. So you could call me, or if you want to call A Woman's Concern at 781-284-8747. If you can't get to a place, the van will come to you, and there's no charge for any of our services. So, of course, the woman was thrilled. She loves the baby. We're going to help her. We're helping her with housing, and it's a beautiful story. And the van, I don't think I ever mentioned this stork van. It's rather unique, and I wanted to tell people they could call that number and use the van. And then, I guess we're almost through, right, Father? But then I had two more calls from the card. They received the card. Somebody gave it to them on a bus. I don't know how these cards get all around, but they do. And so then we were able to help those two people. Then I received another call. The woman said, I had my baby a year ago. I never told you. I just left Planned Parenthood. But she said, Eleanor, you were persistent. You kept coming to the car and gave me a rose, and I never went back for the abortion, and my baby's 1 year old. So the message of that story, the moral of that story is, whatever you're doing in any walk of life, be persistent, gently persistent, and persevere.
Isn't it wonderful that they're mean at Planned Parenthood? Isn't it wonderful that they kill children? So they'll lie and they'll be mean because it's all about a business. It's the business of abortion. And they don't care about the women. They don't give them counseling. They just want the money. You do not get free abortions. People are thrown out of Planned Parenthood who cannot pay, do not have health insurance for abortion. And you see, they don't give free abortions. It's all about the filthy money. And that's the saddest thing, because that's real. Then they come to us, thanks be to God. So I'm glad that that Planned Parenthood is mean. I'm glad that Planned Parenthood is awful. I'm glad because they come to us and we can help them by the grace of God.
Absolutely right, Father. Yeah, I know in some ways, I mean, it sounds terrible. They were mean, but yeah, they sent her out to the street and we were there. We have so many nice group of calm, compassionate pro-lifers. We're all a team, and you only hear me on the radio, but we have a team. We're like the body of Christ. So whatever you're all doing and whatever endeavors, you're a team. You work together. Some people have one gift, the other person has another gift, and you work together as the body of Christ. So, yeah, that was an excellent story of just people being there. You always say, Father, it's important that you're there. And whatever happened, somebody just said, well, here, take this card when they come out, and it happens to be my card. But we're all working together. I don't get any credit. All the credit goes to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it does go with our whole faithful group of pro-lifers that stand out in the sun and the rain and whatever and hand out cards and information, gently loving the people.
And it's all about love. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Why don't you go to the abortion mill? What is the number of it?
1055 Commonwealth Avenue.
1055 Commonwealth Avenue. Go some morning and just go to witness what happens there. Go to witness. I want to invite people to the School of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to take place at Holy Rosary between July 9th and July 15th. The School of the Holy Spirit. You can come for one day, or you can come for the week, or 3 days, or whatever you want. We are creating, by the grace of God, an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. Mm-hmm. That's a place of praise and worship, that the Holy Spirit will move in power. So I want to invite people to that. And you know what? We need to pay our May bills. Please help us. Go to inseason.net and go to PayPal, and that will help you to leave a donation. Or if you want to write the place, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.